Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Christ in Me Ministry. I'm your host, Janetta Allen, and today I will be ministering a message to you on the Christ in Me Ministry. I'm going to be coming from the book of Job, chapter 2 and chapter 19. I have a few verses that I'm going to be reading in chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And chapter 19, verse 6. Amen. Just to give you an overview of today's message, the title of today's message is Don't Blame God. Amen. Don't blame God. Amen. Many times, some of us, all hell is breaking loose in our life, or, you know, all hell is breaking loose in other people's lives, you know. And immediately, instead of trusting God, they want to blame God. Amen. And so I'm going to use Job as an example of how that happens and how it happens easily. Amen. But before I begin, I just would like to pray for you, the listener. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that what you have for this individual on the receiving end of this message, that they may receive it. I pray that you anoint their eyes, that they may see what you will have them to see, their ears, open, anoint the ear gate, their mind for understanding. And, you know, I pray that this word seed will be planted in their heart. Praying as always that I may decrease and my Father increases, so there's none of me at all of him. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen and hallelujah. So thank you for listening with me here today. Actually, tonight, this is 11 a.m., amen, Eastern time here in the state of New York. And again, as I said, I'm going to be ministering a word here today based off these scriptures in chapter 2 of Job and chapter 19 of Job. I would encourage you, if you do have a Bible, please get your Bible and follow along with me. I'm reading out of the King James Version of the Bible. Whatever Bible you have that is particular to your liking, you use that. But for me, I will always be ministering out of the King James Version of the Bible. So let's begin. If you don't have a Bible, I do encourage you to write down these scriptures, and you can go back at a later time to read them over, because I don't want you to take my word for it, even though my word is the word that comes from the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord that is in me. You know, but I want you to know that the word that I speak, the words that I speak, they do come from the Lord. Amen. And that is the Christ that is in me. Amen. I can do nothing in and of myself. I only speak as I hear and as I see through the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Chapter 2 of Job, and it says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. And so went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his foot unto his crown. Amen. That is the end of the reading of that scripture in chapter 2. This is far as I'm going to read. And then I'm going to read one verse in chapter 19, which is verse 6. And this is Job speaking. He says, now that God have overthrown me and have compassed me with this net. Amen. So, if you read further on in the rest of chapter 2 and further on in some of the other scriptures in the book of Job, you will see where Job, basically, all kinds of things happened to Job. Job was struck with balls all over his body. Job, his servants were killed. His kids were killed. He lost all of his material possessions. He had nothing. He was destitute. You know, he was in despair. He was broke. He was destitute. He was in despair. He had lost basically all of his family members except his wife. And all these things came against him. And on top of it, his friends that were his friends before all this happened, when all this happened, his friends turned against him. And his friends said to him, well, there must be something bad that you have done for God to bring this thing upon you. And even Job himself, who was a great man, feared God and trusted God before all this happened to him. Job was a man that feared God, he trusted God, you know, and he looked up to God, you know. But when all these things happened to Job, when the boils came on his body and his kids got killed and he lost all his worldly and material possessions and his friends turned against him, then Job said here in chapter 19, verse 6, now know that God hath overthrown me and have compassed me with this net. So in other words, what Job was saying is that God brought all this upon him, okay? Somehow he believed in his mind and even with his own heart that God had actually brought all this on him, amen, and was punishing him for whatever reason, amen. Nobody came to his corner. Nobody believed that Job was sinless. Nobody believed that he could not have not done anything to have all this done to him. Amen. Even his own wife told him she didn't have any faith in God neither. She said to him, you might as well curse God and die. Can you believe this? This is what you mean. This is his wife. This is the person who's supposed to have his back. You know, she's supposed to be his right-hand man. And, you know, and she said to her own husband, she said to him, you might as well curse God and die already, because in other words, what she was saying, you look like you're already dead anyway. You're already at death's door, is what she was saying. And you know, the question that I would have to you today, doesn't this sound familiar? Doesn't this sound familiar? Many of the times when we, you know, here in modern day, we're not living back in Job days anymore, amen? But we're living here in modern day, here in the now. We go through a lot of things in life, you know, some good, some bad, amen? And the good things, we want to thank God for them, right? We want to say, oh, God is blessing me. God has been so good to me. I'm so thankful to the Lord for this, amen? And we proclaim it to everybody, how good God is to us, amen? Hallelujah. And when everything is going right in our life, you know, everything's okie-dokie. We give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise. But what happens when we get a Job experience, amen? When we might suffer illness and sickness in the body, amen? Or we might lose some of our material possessions or lose our job, amen? And all of our friends turn their back up against us, amen? Turn their back against us, amen? What happens when some of our family members might die, or a friend or a foe? You know, what happens then? Amen. Immediately, many of us, we want to do just like Job did. We want to blame God. But see, the thing, what the Lord is telling me to tell you today, don't blame him. Don't blame God, because God did not put these things upon you. See, if you remember in chapter 2, Satan came to God, and he was going back and forth in the world and just looking for somebody that he could test to see if they were committed to God. Because you know the enemy's job is to tear down anybody that stands for God. Amen. Because the enemy, our enemy, Satan, our adversary, he is contrary to God. Amen. Anything that God believes in, Satan ain't going to believe in. Amen. Anything that God holds true, Satan going to try to come against it. Amen. So, but the thing about Satan, Satan also knows who has the authority. He knows God has the authority. And so he goes to God and says, okay, you know what I'm about. God, Satan says to God, you know what I'm about. I oppose you. Okay? Now, Satan is bold now. He's going to come. He's bold enough to go to God and say, can I test one of your disciples? Can I test one of your followers? Can I test one of your children, one of those that are committed to you? Can I test one of them? And, you know, Satan came to God, and God said, what you doing, Satan? And Satan said, hey, I'm going back and forth trying to figure out who I can go to and test and mess with, see if they're really committed to you. And then God says to Satan, well, have you considered my servant Job? So God asks Satan the question, have you considered my servant Job? And that's just as simple as it sounds. Have you considered my servant Job? What God was saying is, I have a servant named Job, my child Job. I know what he's made of. What he's made of is of me. Amen. And God knew where Job's heart was. God knew that Job was a man after his own heart. God knew that Job was a godly man. In spite of the things that Job's kids did, Job's kids were just, they were like Satanistic kids, okay? They did everything up under the sun. And every morning, Job used to get up and pray for his kids and do alms for his kids and different things and make sacrifices for his kids because he knew that he had some unruly kids. Amen? This was a man after God's own heart. In chapter 2 of Job, it clearly says that God, when he describes Job, God says this, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" So when God is describing Job, he says there's none like him in the earth. He says that he is a perfect and an upright man. Amen? He says he's one that fears God and escheweth evil. So he has a reverential fear for God. Job has had a reverential fear for God. Also, he eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. Amen? And it said, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. He was a man of integrity. Didn't have to worry about him being deceitful and lying. He was a man of integrity. And then it says, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. So God says to Satan, you want me to come against my servant, Job. Okay? But God said, no, I'm not going to come against him, but I'm going to allow you to do what you will with him, but just don't take his life. God told Satan that he could do what he will with Job, but he wasn't going to take his life. And see, brothers and sisters, if you are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who is in the body of Christ, you know that you are saved by the blood of Yeshua, by the blood of Christ. Amen? Check this out. If you know that you're saved by the blood of Christ, you should also know that God will not inflict pain and punishment on his kids like that. Amen? God's not about that. Amen? God's not about breaking all hell in your life. Only Satan does that. Satan brings all hell to come in your life. Amen? Satan brings these things because Satan is trying to break you down to cause you to lose hope in God. Amen? Don't blame God. Put the blame where it is, with Satan. Amen? With Satan. Amen? But the thing about it, Satan can't have no victory unless we let Satan have the victory. Amen? That's another thing. So also, we hold some of the blame as well. Satan can't have any victory unless we give him the victory to have over us. Amen? So we can go through a lot of things. And, you know, we can lose a job. You know, we can lose our career. Amen? We can lose the comfort level of luxury that we have been used to living and going from, you know, rich to poor in a nick of time, amen, or middle class to poor, you know, hallelujah. You can lose all your worldly possessions. You can get sickness in your body, you know. Some people have terminal diseases and illnesses right now, amen. And they are allowing what they're suffering through that terminal illness or sickness or disease, they are allowing that to take them out, to cause them to lose hope in God. You know, and some people that's dealing with sickness in their body, and what they're doing, they're blaming God. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why have you let this happen to me? God, don't you love me anymore? You know, and we think because we go through so many things, you know, that we, you know, perceive to be negative, we think because we go through these things that God does not love us and that God is inflicting this pain or sickness or the losing of material possessions or taking our loved ones because God don't love us and that God is somehow punishing us and or God is allowing his wrath to come upon us. And we try, you know, in our own minds to think, what is it that I have done to cause God to come against me like that? But don't blame God because it's not God that is coming against you. It is your adversary coming against you, trying to cause you to lose hope in God. You see, Satan's primary role is to cause you, to cause me, to lose hope in God. So if we don't have no hope in God, we won't even believe that salvation is possible for us. Amen? And who does salvation come through? The Christ. Amen? And so if you don't have any hope, amen, you don't have any faith, if you lose your first love, which is called Christ, amen, you lose him, you know, because of what you're going through at the moment. You got to understand no storm lasts forever. Amen? No storm lasts forever. Whatever you're going through, there is going to become a point in time where the storm will stop. And so you have to ask God to give you the strength to go through the storm, to weather it. Amen? To climb the mountain and get over it. Hallelujah. To get out of the low valleys into a high valley. Amen? You have to ask God for the strength to keep you from losing hope in him. Amen? To not, you know, come against God and blame God for whatever you're going through. Amen? You know, the Bible says that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We will suffer for Christ's sake. Amen? So many of us, we have not done anything to deserve what we're going through, but some of us are just suffering because of Christ's sake. Then on the other hand, some of us are suffering because God has chosen us to allow the enemy to come against us. Not because God doesn't believe in us, not because God doesn't have faith in us, and because God wants to punish us or to just allow, you know, this horrible things to be happening to us or his wrath to come upon us. No. God, look at this. When God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job, what God was really saying to Satan is, it is an honor. It is an honor for me to let you bring all these things against my servant Job. That was an honor for Job. Not that it was an honor to things that Satan was going to do to Job or to come upon Job. What the honor was that God found Job worthy for all this to happen to him because God knew what Job was made of. My brothers and sisters, what God wants to tell you today, some of these things that you're going through because God is honoring you. He bestows the honor on you to go through because he knows what you're made of, and he knows that you're coming out on the other side as pure as gold. Amen? He knows that once you're refined and you go through the fire, amen, he knows that once you get molded, amen, he knows that once you come through this storm, amen, you're going to come out on the other side as pure as gold. Amen? See, no thing that we're going through seems good for the moment. But when we are done, when we are done and when we get through going through, amen, we will see, we will understand then why God allowed what he allowed. And then we will know why we have the victory. See, sometimes you can't understand anything when you're in the midst of going through it. But when you come out of it, then you begin to see clearly and say, man, I understand why you allowed this, God. Had I not been allowed to go through this, then I might not have gotten to that. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we may not understand the reason at the time. But what we must understand is this, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's in us with it through it all. He sees us through it all. Amen? He provides a way of escape. He makes a way out of it. And if we don't get out of it, he sees that we will get through it with him. Amen? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was put in the fiery furnace, God was right there with them. They weren't walking through that fire alone. God was with them, brothers and sisters. And so when we walk through our fires, and it seems like all hell is breaking loose in our life, it is in that time, my brothers and sisters, that God is right there with us. He has not left us. He is not far away. Amen. So you don't have to pray faithless prayers. Amen. You don't have to, you know, ask, why me, Lord, this, and why me, Lord, that, and how could you, Lord, this, and why did you do that? Okay. And you don't have to doubt God. You don't have to doubt that God is walking right with you. Amen. You don't have to doubt the existence of God. You don't have to lose hope in God. Amen. Because God is right there with you. And God knows that you're going to be victorious through this. Remember, God has seen your end. He's seen your beginning and everything in between. So when Satan comes to God and asks God, can I tempt your servant? Or if God says, have you considered my servant this or my servant that? My servant Jane or my servant Sue? My servant John or my servant Doe? When God said, have you considered my servant? Well, God is saying, hey, this is an honor for me to, you know, allow you to come to my servant and test my servant because I know what my servant is made of. I know what my daughter is made of. I know what my son is made of because I'm in them, okay? And I've already defeated you, devil. So if I'm in them and they're in me, then, devil, you can't have the victory. Why? Because the victory is never yours. It was never yours to have. So when God allows Satan to come against us, God knows that we already have the victory. Not that we gonna have the victory, but that we already have the victory. And the thing about it is that we got to know that we have the victory. Not that we gonna have the victory. Not that victory is coming, but that we already have the victory. Even though we look victorious, we are victorious. Amen. We are victorious. The victory is already up. Amen. Somebody got to understand this. Somebody got to know this. You sickness come upon you, you already got the victory. Amen. I heard somebody say that was false teaching to tell people that the healing is already theirs and the victory is already theirs. See, brothers and sisters, too many people worried about what's going on the outside. God is talking about what's going on in the inside. Amen. See, God done already worked it out in the spirit. We, as the sons and daughters of God, we wait for the manifestation or the revealing of it on the outside. Amen. But on the inside, we are as perfect can be. We are as healed and delivered and set free as healed and delivered and set free can be. We wait for the manifestation or the revealing of it to be shown on the outside. And that means with the natural eye. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when people don't see things happening in the natural as soon as they want them to, as soon as they believe them to or want them to be, they think that God is not working for them. They think that God has somehow left them. God is not on their side anymore. But the reality of it all is that God hasn't left you. God is still on your side. God has already worked it out. God has already seen it before you see it. And that's how he knows that you have the victory. God already defeated Satan. And if you are a child of God, you have already defeated Satan, no matter what your present circumstance look like. See, we don't be moved by our present circumstances. We shouldn't be moved by that. Now, you know, many of us, of course, you know, because we still possess this human body and it is imperfect, and we still, some of us are carrying a fleshy mindset, you know, because we're not thinking in the spirit term. You know, we react in human ways. Amen. But the thing about it is sometimes our own faithfulness or our faithlessness. Our faithfulness can allow things to quicken and hurry for us. And sometimes our faithlessness can allow things to slow down or hinder us. Amen. But no matter how long something takes, no matter how long we're going through, we got to know that we have the victory. But see, when you really know who you are and whose you are, then you can be going through a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, it could be all hell breaking loose in your life. But with God, when you know who you are and whose you are, God can give you such a peace, such an internal peace. And everybody else is freaking out around you, okay? But God has given you such an internal peace to you can be sitting there as though you ain't going through nothing. And people wondering, well, why is, you know, she so calm and why does she seem like she's so peaceful? Why she just went through this or he just went through this and that? And it don't look like they've been through anything. Amen? That's God. That's God, brothers and sisters. That's God. Amen? So the encouraging word for all of us today is don't blame God. Trust God. Lean on God. Rely on God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we can't get to the Father unless we have the Son. Amen? Unless you receive the Son, you can't communicate with the Father. Amen? Because the Father and the Son are one. Amen? So as the Father abides in the Son, so the Son abides in the Father. So we abide in the Son and the Son in us. Amen? So you can't communicate with the Father and get anything from the Father unless you go through the Son. And basically all that really means is until you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot communicate with God. God ain't going to hear you. And the reason why God ain't going to hear you because you didn't go through the proper channels in order for God to hear you. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, I'm at the end of my message here that the Lord has given me to give to you today. And, you know, just don't blame God. Just know that this is not, you know, God coming against you and God attacking you and God punishing you and God putting his wrath upon you and his wrath coming down, and stop thinking that you done did something so wrong that you're being punished. Simply, brothers and sisters, this is just a test because, you know, you are an honoree for the test. Amen. God know what you're made of. Amen. Because you're made of him. Amen. And Satan knows what you're made of, too. Amen. He may not know the extent of what you're made of, because his whole, you know, thing is to try to tear you down and break you down and get you into hopelessness. Amen. But God says, stay faithful. Stay hopeful. Amen. Know that you are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Know that you are the righteousness of God. Know that you have been saved by the blood of Christ. Amen. Know that Christ came into this world to die for you so that you can have eternal life. Amen. Know that there is no more condemnation for you. And you don't have to hold on to a condemnation mentality. Amen. And know that this thing is not to kill you, but to make you stronger. Amen. So this is the end of the message here. Thank you for allowing me to minister to you on the Christ in Me ministry. I'm Janetta Allen, and the Christ is in me. And just know, it's just the Christ in me. It's just the Christ in me. And it could be the Christ in you, too. See you next time on the Christ in Me ministry.